But who needs soap operas when you've got South African politics, hey? And politicians. I mean, these personalities who populate our newspapers and the like are in a class of their own. And City Press has been reporting on the open defiance that Julius Malema appears to be facing within his party for the first time. And there are a couple of issues that have come up here. We know that the party is going to its elective conference on the 13th of December. It's been really difficult to access them and access their policies in particular, right? So we don't really know about everything that's at stake. What we do know is that certain members of the top six are in question, right? Their future within the party in those positions. We've heard that there's been an agreement, a loose agreement, that Julius Malema and Floyd Shivambu, as the head of the party and the deputy head, will remain in those positions, and that the rest of the top six will be moved, or, you know, moved into other positions, but certainly moved out of their current positions. And then we've heard that there are two factions developing, and City Press has written about that today. He's in fact, the author has spoken about the issue of the two camps being linked to popular culture by name, the Amapiano wanting to challenge the status quo of the party being run like a company with a hierarchical structure in which leaders are chosen on behalf of members. This is according to this article. And then it goes on to talk about the Amaturukisi, on the other hand, who comprise Malema loyalists who want Marshal Dlamini to replace the Secretary General Godrich Gadi. But there are other issues in contention as well, including whether the party should have a women's wing, much like the ANC Women's League, I suppose, and whether the youth wing of the party, the student command, is powerful enough, or whether, as Julius Malema has been suggesting, the structure is simply useless. We were thought we would ask Professor Lisi Batefo, political analyst, for his insight into this. He's, of course, a research director in the Democracy and Governance Program at UNISA. And Prof, good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Let me just ask you first of all, is this really the most powerful rebellion we have seen in the party so far since its inception against the leadership?
Well, greetings to you and the listeners. Is it true that there is a revolt or a rebellion? Or is it a fiction of our own imagination? Or is it deliberately engineered by part of the leadership so that they can manage it and ultimately say, this is how we handle it, regardless of the challenges? That notwithstanding, let me say, it has been too good for quite some time for the EFF. The journey was wonderful up to this point. But what they should not have forgotten, or they shouldn't forget, as they grow bigger, the challenges will be commensurate with their size. Now there are opportunities. There are goodies to offer. And people are now coming on board also with that expectation. Yesterday they were building a party. I know there is a lady from KwaZulu-Natal who rightly had to go to Parliament as per the list and the agreement, but she didn't end up there. She's angry, she's bitter, she's challenging, she's questioning that, and rightly so. What does it say to me? That now they are beginning to experience what other parties are experience when it comes to sharing their resources and what at least political represents in Africa in particular. Access to resources, access to employment, access to opportunities. Yes, they are going to have to deal with some challenges going forward now that they've become a big party with at least the goodies to dispense.
Tell me, Prof, is Malema being too dictatorial in terms of who will stay in the top six and who won't after the elective conference?
Given where they come from, historically speaking, is it a contradiction? Some would say not quite, because in any case, Malema was also a master at that when he was in his previous home. So that culture might be transferring and transposing itself into this new era. Hence, I say it has been too good to be true at one stage, but the party was small. I'm not sure if they really want a weak league. I'm not sure if they want any other league at all. The problem with the leagues is that the ANC is where it is, with so many leagues, precisely because there was something to offer at the table. But can the EFF afford not to have the youth league? I doubt. It may even be suicidal, because its existence is anchored on and is reliant and dependent on the role the university students or teacher students make. They've built the EFF. Without them, I doubt if it would be what it is today.
You know, I quite agree with you, Prof, that they've been extremely useful at recruiting students, promoting the fees must fall protests and the like. But they're also highly vociferous and they're highly educated and they don't easily take instructions from older members of the party.
Yeah, yes. And the best they can do is to listen to them and nurture them as a future leadership and nurture them in a way that suggests that indeed we'll have challenges. Will debate, will contest. I often hear Malema talks about the quality of cognitive power that should inform and guide debates in Parliament. And they've done immensely well in Parliament because they are well read and they prepare, they read the documents. They will challenge Speaker Mbeki and say, we'll take you to court and we are going to win. Though you have been longer in Parliament than we have been, but we understand the rules of the game better. So when they are engaged and challenged by their own, they must take pleasure in that and say, but you are still young, we'll assist you to grow. But to try to dispense with them, I think he might be calling for a revolt that it might be too difficult to handle. I know that some of the students and some of the members might be embedded, might have been placed there to destabilize and to disorganize the organization. And I know their opposition have tried in the past, but those who walked away and who were partly sponsors to destabilize tried to form their own parties and failed. And I'm saying find a way to discuss with the youth league, I mean with the student movement. Don't discard it. It might be too much to handle.
Prof, I'm interested to hear your opinion about Julius Malema's idea that the party needs some kind of women's league. I mean, on the one hand, you've got this reality that fewer than 30% of women in South Africa support the EFF. You've got two women in the top six who toe the male line very much, even though, you know, that they have been known to be feminists in the past. I mean, surely it sounds like a good idea, but there seems to be quite a lot of resistance to it within the party. Why is that?
They don't need those leagues. They create unnecessary problems. I mean, the ANC has MK Veterans League, Women's League, Youth League, whatever league you want to call it. I mean, even if you like, even the SACP, it's not really a party, it's another league wearing a communist tag. Even the COSATU, I wouldn't even call it a union. It's also a league of the ANC. Do they want to have so many leagues that you know they are going to cause you a headache? I wouldn't say so. And why call them this or that? If we belong to one party and there are other processes to empower them and fairly and squarely they can assume any position and play any role, so be it. Let's leave it there. I'm sure beyond South Africa there are many successful parties in successful democracies where you don't have these leagues. But for now, the EFF, it needs the student command or the student organization as it stands. It is its lifeblood.
Prof, very good talking to you. Thank you for your insight into that story. Professor Lesiba Tefo, he is a political analyst and research director on the Democracy and Governance Program at UNISA.